We see a lot of things changing in today's society, and religion is one of them. Over the course of the last 10 years, I've tried to look at and keep an eye on where things are moving and how things are moving. Religious sources state that there's in the world today over 4,200 different religions. So if you had no idea about religion and went out, okay, I need to find a religion, there's 4,200 different religions to choose from. According to 22 statistics, Christianity makes up about 31.5% of those religions. So just about one-third are considered Christian. Pew Research shows that the percentage breakdown of Christianity, because Christianity is a broad label for religion as well. Of those who claim to be Christian, Catholics make up 50.1%, Protestants 36%, Orthodox 11%, other Christians 1.3%. When we think about God opening our eyes to the truth and giving us an understanding of the truth from His Word, and others not being able to understand that, 1.3% of religion is other Christianity, and of that, it is even a very much smaller percentage for us. PBS Learning Media says 23.2% of the world is Muslim, so nearly one-fourth of the world's religion is Muslim. 15% are Hindu, 7.1% are Buddhist. Now, 0.8% are other religions. Now, 10 years ago, other religions comprised 10.95, or almost 11%. That's down to 0.8. Today, 16% are considered non-religious, as opposed to 11% 10 years ago. More are becoming non-religious. And now, 10 years ago, 2% said they were atheist. Today, 7% claim to be atheist. More and more individuals moving away from religion, and religion is failing, and we understand why. According to Vision Capitalist, there are 2.4 billion Christians in the world. Catholicism is said to make up about 1.345 billion, or 56% of those who claim to be Christian. What do most people think religion is? And what do you think, and what do you consider to be religion? Now, a lot of times we mention our beliefs, or we say we keep holy days, and people say, oh, I didn't know you were religious. They call you religious if you believe in the Ten Commandments, or if you believe in the Sabbath day. But what is religion? Dictionary.com says religion is a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. So they're saying if you believe that there is a higher power, you believe in creation, then especially when considered the creation of the superhuman agencies or agencies involved in the devotional and ritual observances, and often containing moral code governing the conduct of human affairs. So you have a set of beliefs based on supernatural and a code of conduct. They also say it's a specific fundamental set of beliefs and practices. Religion is a group of practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons or sects, and the religious or the Christian religion, Buddhist religion, etc. Third, it says it is a body of persons. So if you talk about religion, they say, oh, that's a group of people. So if it's a religion, that's a group over here, or you have this type of group over here. It is a body of persons adhering to a personal or particular set of beliefs and practices, a world council of religions. So one definition of religion is just a groups of people that believe different things. Fourth, the life or state of a monk. To enter into religion, they enter into religion as if it was something self-existent. And number five, the practice of religious beliefs or ritual observance of faith. So the practice of religious beliefs means that's what religion is, which is almost, it's like most definitions. They use the word itself to describe the definition of that word, and it doesn't quite give us a full picture. New World Encyclopedia tells us that the term religion comes from the Latin religio, which means to bind or connect. It denotes a common set of beliefs, practices pertaining to the supernatural and its relationship to humanity and cosmos, which are often confided in prayer, ritual, scriptures, and religious law. So New World Encyclopedia actually has a better description of what religion is. But the term used in the Bible, in the Greek, according to Strong's Concordance, denotes that religion is a set of common beliefs or practices pertaining to supernatural, similar to what that said. It says it is a word that means ceremonial observances or worshiping. That's what it means in the Greek when we see religion or the description of religion in the Greek. It comes from a base word, threskos, and it means ceremony or ceremonious in worship, as in demonstrative. Now we begin to see a little bit more, because when we look at what religion means to us, we want to know what it means to God, because that's where religion itself comes from. And the word itself comes from ceremonious in worship as demonstrative. Demonstrative means you're able to demonstrate it. You're able to perform it. You're able to do something. If we are going to believe that the Bible is the word of God, then we have to know what it says religion is. Otherwise, we wouldn't know what to believe, what to do, what to demonstrate. We wouldn't know where the true church was. We wouldn't know why we were even here. Mr. Armstrong used to ask that question, and it's often asked at the Feast of Tabernacles, why are you here? And it can be a broad question, why are you here, period? Why are you alive on this earth? What is the purpose of life or the purpose of humanity? But it can also be, as it was used at the Feast of Tabernacles many times, why are you here? Why are you at the Feast of Tabernacles? We can also ask that question, why are you here? What is the purpose that God has called you to be a part of the church? Some go to church or consider themselves religious, and don't know why. No, I'm religious. Okay, what is it you believe? Well, I haven't been religious very long. I really don't know what I believe in yet. Some go to church and yet have no reason or understanding of why. Are we religious because it's fun? Well, we know God says, you follow my way, it's difficult. And it's going to continue to be difficult, especially in this age. Are we in religion because it's expected? Well, I know that's what God expects, so I need to be a part of some kind of religion. It takes work to be religious. It takes work to follow a set of guidelines, rules, and system. And it takes work to understand the plan that God has opened up to our minds. And especially when we know the truth, it is difficult and it takes a lot of work. Most religions have standards or values or something that a person believes in, whether they do it, whether they abide by it. They have a system of, this is the way we do things. This is what we do. But the definition of religion says it is demonstrative. It means it can be performed. That's what religion is. I want to read from an article, and I want to cover some of these points that are covered in this particular article. It's an article from Personality Cafe, 10 Reasons Why People Are Religious. And I found it interesting because what it lists as the 10 reasons why people are religious are also sometimes reasons why people are in the church or have been in the church. It may be the initial reason why some came into the church, but then their understanding and spiritual growth developed and they understand more the reason why. But it's interesting to read this. And this writer is somewhat cynical in his understanding and approach, but the reasons that he gives why people come to church or why people consider themselves religious is even in the church today. So he says, why are people religious? First, he quotes Martin Luther King Jr. He who passively accepts evil as much as evil is as much involved in it as he who helps perpetrate it. So if you passively accept evil, you're just as guilty of perpetrating it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it. That's what Paul had to address with the churches that he dealt with. For centuries, humans have fallen into the repetitive cycle of fallacy, the ritual rut that has held us back from achieving our full potential. It isn't until now that humans are starting to wake up and shift to a higher states of awareness. Now, this is his perspective, saying humans are becoming more aware of things. That's why people are getting out of religion, because he doesn't look at religion as something that is necessary. He says, but as we are beginning to make progress as humans, why is it that people still cling to their 2,000-year-old beliefs? When will people finally give up their materialistic religion and search for something that has greater meaning and purpose? Well, hopefully that's why we are all here, because we understand that it does, and that most of religion in today's society is meaningless. He says, I believe that there are 10 main reasons why people still hold on to their religious beliefs. Now, I know this doesn't pertain to every religion or every religious person, but if you are religious, you'll probably find or likely find yourself in one of these areas. And I want to go through some of these because it is interesting to see what he says, because having over 50 years history in the church, I've seen a lot of these same reasons why people have been in the church. From his writing, I concluded that he has struggled with religion and is now seeking something differently. If you read the entire article, you can see him really admitting he's agnostic. He doesn't know, but he's searching for something. Some, even in the church, have done the same thing, and it's not because the church has failed. And many times people say, well, the church has failed because I don't believe in this stuff, or they haven't shown me what I need to do, or I failed, so therefore it's the church's responsibility. And again, much of it is just simply a lack of understanding. Now, you might find some of these interesting. They're also very sad, because in many cases they are true. So he says, number one, the reason that people are in religion is because of childhood indoctrination. He says, this is the biggest reason why people are religious. It's very rare for someone to be brought up in a certain religion and when they get older not to believe it anymore. Well, I'm in the middle of five children. None of them are, well, one of them is, he would consider himself religious of some kind, but doesn't attend any kind of church anywhere. The rest of my brothers and sisters are not a part of any church. Now, it isn't always a bad thing if we say, well, childhood indoctrination, you train up a child, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's what God says. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. The problem is, many are trained up in things that are false, and they're trained up in things that are wrong. And you think about society, people train their children, oh, Christmas is about Christ, and Santa's going to come, and he climbs down the chimney, and if you put a tooth under a pillow, your tooth fairy comes, and he gives you money, and it's filled with lies, and it's filled with myths, and it's filled with other things. So many times, religion is also filled with things that are false, things that are wrong. And it's hard to break free from wrong teaching, especially if you've been trained in that. Even if you say, well, I know that's not true, you've been trained in it, and people just train their children in it. And then it just goes generation after generation. And many, especially when God opens their mind, has to unlearn so much of what they have developed in their time in education in religion. They have to unlearn it. We told our children, and we tell young people at camp, you have to be here as a part of camp, as a part of church, as a part of this, because it is your religion, not because it's your parents' religion. You can, you know, when we ask, why are you here, or why did you come to camp? Why is it that you want to be a part of what God is offering to you? It can't be, well, because my parents are. It has to be your choice, and you have to take ownership. We read of that when Paul was talking to Timothy. He said, continue in the things which you have learned. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. Continue in the things which you have learned and you've been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them. He said, know where it came from, not just to blindly accept things, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. He said, from a child you've grown up and you've learned from the Scripture the things that are going to make you wise to salvation. Again, having childhood indoctrination is not always a bad thing if it's in the truth. But again, the problem with society is people have been indoctrinated from the time they were children in falsehood. Number two, he says a reason that people are religious is because of fear. We know about this one, don't we? Yeah, if you've been in the church any number of years or decades or multiple decades, as many of us have, people came into the church because of fear. People in the world say, well, if you're bad, you're going to burn in hell forever, so you have to be a part of religion. You have to have some kind of belief or you're going to burn forever. Or in the church, if you don't have your life in order, you're going to be taken captive and you're going to suffer through the Great Tribulation. And people out of fear said, I don't want to go through the Great Tribulation, so I want to come to church. They chose religion because of fear. Now, even today, some churches and some organizations within even the churches of God use fear. If you leave this organization, you're going to burn in the lake of fire. And people go, oh, I can't ever leave this organization. And yet, they don't believe what is being taught. I have friends and other individuals who have said, I don't believe what our organization is teaching is correct. I don't believe it, but we've been told if we leave, we'll burn in the lake of fire. I'm like, okay, you don't believe the doctrines of the church, but you believe that you're going to burn in the lake of fire if you leave a church that's teaching false doctrine. A certain amount of good and proper fear is necessary, proper respect. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is man's all. This summarizes what man is, to fear God, to have a proper relationship with God, and to keep the commandments. It's also another big reason why people are religious or why they're afraid to question religion. Well, I don't want to question my religion because of fear. Mr. Armstrong was very bold in stating, do not believe me, believe your Bibles. So he said, I'm teaching you from God's word, but don't believe me, look it up in Scripture. One big problem today is that people believe what they think was taught by Mr. Armstrong. And I don't say that to put individuals down, but this is what I remember hearing. This is what I was taught. And you go, but is that scriptural? No, but that's what I remember Mr. Armstrong teaching. Mr. Armstrong has said, don't believe me, believe your Bible. And too many people failed to prove it from the Bible and then have a memory of, this is what Mr. Armstrong taught. No, if it was proved from the Bible, you can still go back to that same word. And the things that we've held fast to and the fundamental doctrines are still there today. I can still go to my Bible and I find those. They're not removed. They haven't changed. And again, but people didn't prove it from the Bible and they still haven't proved it today. And they just said, nope, this is because of feelings and emotion. This is what I remember we were taught. And people say, why do you believe differently? And I said, because he said, blow the dust off your Bible, prove it for yourself. And when you do, you understand what he was teaching. And so you go, yes, this is what the Bible says. And it is what Mr. Armstrong taught because he got it from the Word of God. And you can too. Now, questioning what you should believe or what you believe is a good thing. Hopefully you don't just come here and you say, well, I've never questioned what I believe. I was told and so I believe it. No, you need to question it. We're told to prove all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Well, you prove all things from the Word of God. You don't prove it because somebody told you. You don't prove it because of what somebody remembers being taught. And like I said, it's been interesting being in Los Angeles for the past 12 or 13 years. The center for where the church used to operate from, and having people who said, I was here, I've been here for decades, and two different people saying, this is what Mr. Armstrong taught. No, that's not. This is what Mr. Armstrong always taught, or what the church always taught. And having two different opposing ideas of what the church always taught and being from the same general vicinity that it was taught from. Again, we can't take our perceptions of what we think. We can go back to the Word of God, and did we prove it? And it's still there. So we're to prove all things. And New King James Version says, test all things. We take what we hear and we prove it. We go to the Word of God and we test it. Yes, that is what Scripture says. That is correct. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Luke 21, verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, that day come upon you unexpectedly. And we can't think, well, that's to the world, it's not talking to me. No, take heed to yourselves, because I have seen individuals' hearts be weighed down with the cares of this life. He said, it will come on you as a snare, as on all those who are on the face of the earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Now, people say, well, he's talking to the world here. Then, you know, take heed, don't get caught up in those things. If you're in the church, you'd never get caught up in those things, is the mindset. But yet he says, watch therefore and pray that you can be accounted worthy to escape these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Sometimes even within the church, fear is what motivated people to be here. People heard Mr. Armstrong talk about the horsemen, talk about what's going to happen during the Great Tribulation, and there's a lot of people who came in because of fear. And after a decade or two, well, that didn't happen. Oh, well, nothing happened, and fear subsided, and they're like, I don't need to go through all this hard effort of being a Christian, because this stuff hasn't happened. Prophecy and tribulation were reasons many came into the church, and when it didn't happen, they were gone. People don't want anything bad to happen to them, and some have even stated it in that way, that, well, I'm here because I don't want to go through the tribulation, or I don't want to go through terrible things. When 9/11 took place, people became religious. Yeah, they looked at religion and they said, oh, there's a lot going on in the world. I need to be religious. And they thought it was the end. I remember at the particular time at the place where I was working, this was before I was hired full time, people in the office were saying, this is the end of the world. Others were saying, this is World War III. We're going to die. It was interesting just to kind of sit back. I was watching the news and what was taking place, but I was also very interested in seeing the responses of what was happening around me and how they perceived what was taking place. And there was a lot of fear. And over months, that fear subsided and things got back to normal fairly quickly. But people feared the tribulation. They feared death. They feared not knowing what's going to happen to them, just as people fear, well, I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die, so I need to have some kind of religion. I need to be religious. Or fear that friends would be disappointed if they weren't in the church. Well, if I left, what are they going to think of me? I fear having people think wrong of me, so I'm here because of fear. So that was the second thing that he mentioned, was fear is a reason. Whether it's fear of the future, fear of the here and now, or fear of what others think or their disappointment, but fear. Third, people are in or become a part of religion or stay in religion because times of desperation and need. It's much easier, this is him quoting, it is much easier to have faith in a religion when you have nothing else. How many people have said, I have nothing, so I need some kind of religion to fill that void? He said, if you are in a time of desperation and need with no hope, then you need something to hold on to. If someone is completely satisfied with their life, then they have no need for religion because they're content with how they are. And again, there are some truths to what he is stating, even though these are not reasons or good reasons to be a part of religion. There is truth to what he's stating. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. This is the message to the churches, and it said, I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. He said, you're lukewarm. You don't have a drive and a commitment to something, and it's not that you're just totally given up either. He said, so then, because you are lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, rather, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And what he was stating is when people have what they need and they're completely satisfied, they have no need for religion. And when you're desperate and you have nothing, they long for something to cling to. So here he's saying of the Laodiceans that you are rich and have become wealthy, have need of nothing, but you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He said you're in the same state, but in a spiritual sense. Proverbs 30, verse 8, as a reference, tells us, remove me far from vanity and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. I don't think any of us here say, well, I don't want to be rich and not have a need for God, so make me poor. I don't think there's any of us that want that. But he says, neither give me poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me. Give me the things that I need. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor, steal, and take the name of my God in vain. Sometimes it's too easy to seek God when you feel that there's nothing else. Well, I have nothing else. So I have to fill that void with religion. This is simply religion out of desperation. Number four, he said people are part of religion and want religion because of tradition. A lot of people just accept their religion because of tradition, and I've talked to individuals who had their minds open to the truth, and they said, I can't do it because my family is putting pressure on me that we were raised this way. This is our family tradition. It's our family identity. I've got to go back to that religion even though I don't believe in it. But a lot of people accept that religion as tradition around them. He says, everyone around them follows that religion, and no one has done differently for the past 300 years. This is his impression of that. But it's what we hear in many times in business, that I was always guilty of thinking of, maybe it's because I inherited that from my dad. He was a problem solver. Worked for Honeywell, invented a lot of things, came up with ways to do things better. But when I got into sales, and I was in sales for almost 20 years, I was always going, you know, this is an issue. We need to address this. We need to change the way we do it. And I got, we've always done it this way. This is the way we've always done it. We don't want to change the way we did it. That was one of those frustrating things for me to hear. You don't keep doing something because that's the way you've always done it. And that's part of what he's saying here. We've had people over the years who said, we need to have services in church, much like the other churches of the world, with more music and less education. I ask why? Well, it's because of tradition. You know, it's traditional to have more music. I say, well, not with us. It's not a tradition of the church. Nor was it a tradition of the early church. We go back and say, okay, how did the early church operate? We see that they spoke in the temple. They spoke from house to house. Now, there are times, like at the Passover, where it said they sang a hymn and then went out. But we don't see they all got together and sang hymns for a service. It says they were taught. It was a teaching and it was an education. And so there's a certain reason why we follow a tradition, but we don't follow that to the point where we say, well, everything we do is tradition and we can't change it. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1, we see that there were certain traditions even with those that God was working with. So then came to Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do the disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Now, they weren't saying, why do they break the traditions of God? Why do they break the traditions of the Bible? No, why do they transgress the traditions of the elders? Verse 3, it says, he answered them and said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Goes back to the idea that religion is simply knowledge, and they took that knowledge and they said, we've developed something with that knowledge and something that's different. And many times you don't question that knowledge because this is what we've always done. And so he says, you have taken because of your tradition, now you're transgressing God's law because you don't understand the purpose of that law. And again, something we have to be very careful with is tradition. But people stay in religion or a part of religion because of tradition. Tradition of their family, traditions of a church, and they go, this church has been around, they've been teaching these things for millennia, and we want something that's traditional. Number 5, people are part of religion, and this is actually, it can be beneficial and it can be a wrong reason, because they are searching for answers. There are so many people who are searching for answers. Now, I mentioned 9/11. When 9/11 happened, people began to search for answers. We saw an increase in people who said, I want to know about the future. I want to know about prophecy. I want to know what's going on in the world and how it ties into what's scriptural. This writer says, people are tired of lies and deception and they want answers. There are so many unanswered questions and no one can seem to answer, and religion puts a bandage on those questions. Well, truth and the truth of God and what God has opened our mind to, we realize is not a bandage. And it doesn't ignore the questions. It addresses them directly, and we address them in Scripture. And that's why so many people said, I have been searching and I've been looking for truth and I haven't found anything. I have read your literature, and what you say is directly from the Word of God, and it is true. I proved it. So it actually helps us when people look for answers and just begin searching religions when they want to find truth, because they say, I see it. The writer went on to say that people who want answers are disappointed when they seek them in religion, because he says religion doesn't have the answers. Well, we saw 4,200 different types of religions, and out of that, the 2.4 billion who are considered Christian, and out of that, 0.8 that is any other besides Catholic, Protestant, or Orthodox, and you realize, oh, there's a very small percentage of other religions. Well, they're disappointed because man's religion doesn't have the answers. That's one thing that is exciting for us, because we can take out the answers to the questions that people have through the gospel, and they start realizing, and when they find that, some are searching and they find it, others, God just allows it to drop in their lap, and they weren't searching, but now they are, because they discovered something. But there's a reason why the world's religions are in vain. Matthew 13:11 says, he answered them, because it is given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it has not been given. So those who are searching can't find the answers because it has not been given to them. It's not time. That's what's so exciting about people searching today, is because when God opens their mind, it is time. And to see those wheels begin to turn. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 23. Luke chapter 10, and in verse 23. He says, he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see." He said, you have been given an opportunity to understand and see things. And all of us here today, we think, well, why would we cover religion, the subject of religion? Is because we too have to understand what religion is in God's eyes. He said, "Blessed are the eyes in which see the things that you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it." And that's where his perspective of, you look for it in religion, you're not going to find it because religion doesn't have the answers. It's not because religion doesn't have the answers, it's because the world's religions do not. He said, they have not seen it, nor hear what you hear, and have not heard it. They haven't heard it in the same way that those hear it whose eyes are opened. Another reason he says people are part of religion is because of a guilty conscience. How many of us have known someone over the years who is in the church because of guilty conscience? I have. Guilt can be a motivator, but it may not always be acted upon in the right way or properly. We can't just show up at church every week or every once in a while, or even if we do it every week, and think, well, I fulfilled my part in religion. As long as I'm there, I don't feel guilty. Now, some feel guilty because, oh, I know God expects me to be there, so I'll be there. And they feel guilty. Or, if other people don't see me there, I feel guilty. It's still a guilty conscience. Some continue to go to church year after year and they don't grow. They don't mature. And it may be because they're not contributing, or simply because they're there because they feel guilty. The truth is, too hard of a life to hang on for years and years and years because you feel guilty. A guilty conscience is not a reason to be at church. It's not a reason to be as a part of religion. So we ask that question again, why are you here? Do you understand what religion is and what it means to you? And what is your religion? What is it that keeps you here? Hopefully it's not some of these reasons that we're going through out of fear of, well, I fear the tribulation, or I fear what I might have to go through in the future. Hopefully you're not here because of guilty conscience. Hopefully you're not here because, well, my parents grew up, I grew up in this way of life, and that's what they believe, so that's why I believe it. Well, that's not believing it. That's just accepting tradition. And if you didn't prove it and you haven't made it a part of you, again, you're living your parents' religion. Number seven, a reason why people are part of religion is socializing. Those of you who are in the church in the 80s realize for a lot of people that was the case. They wanted to be a part of the church because of socializing. He says, for a lot of people, the only time they get to socialize with anyone besides co-workers is when they go to church. Now think about that. For most of us, church is our life. That's what we think about. That's what we think about through the week. We think about God's way of life. We think about the promises that are given to us. And we come to church and we're able to share that with others who believe the same thing. If people did not go to church and they just work with their co-workers, and on weekends, if they don't have that group of people to share things with, what would they do? So he says they might not even like church that much, but they'll go just so they can socialize with people and get out of the house. People also like to feel that they are part of something and that they belong somewhere. People join groups. They join social groups. They join these things, but socializing and thinking, well, if I'm a part of a church, I will be included. I feel like I have something to hang on to. is being part of a social group, being religious. If you come to church and you have potlucks and you play games, does that make you religious? Many people in the church years ago went to church and became a part of the church because of sports, teams, dances, outings, picnics, softball, whatever the case, because, oh, this is fun, it's exciting, and I just feel like I'm a part of something and I have good friends. Decades later, people still say, well, I'm here because my friends are here. It's because of socializing. Their religion is because of social purposes. Number 8, comfort or assurance. People want religion to be comfortable or to have assurance. He says people like comfort and assurance that religion creates for them, and it makes them feel safe and that everything is going to be all right. They're afraid to step out of their comfort zone, and they feel that if they don't have a religion, then their life's going to be chaotic. I just want to feel good. I want to feel like things are going well. And we can look at this and say, well, that doesn't sound too far off. But is just having a religion enough? Should we have a religion or should we live our religion? It's much different than having a religion. But the world looks at it that way. Years ago, I had my car repaired. And so the shop where I was having the car repaired, they said, you know, we've got somebody who can take you to where you need to go. So I was riding with this particular woman. She was driving me, and she started telling me, I'm going through divorce. Not what you want to hear when you're getting a ride somewhere. Okay, let me hear your family story. But she was just, because it was so difficult for her, she said, I'm going through a divorce. And she says, we don't go to church, but I want my daughter to grow up with religion. She said, it doesn't really matter which one as long as she has one. And I thought, wow. You know, what the difference in thinking. We don't grow up in the church saying, well, as long as I have some religion, so, okay, this one's closer, I'll go to this one. Or this one's more interesting, I'll go over to this one. As long as she has one, it doesn't matter which one. What was important to her? Having a religion, having a group, having a place of belonging, whatever that might be. To her, having a religion or her daughter having a religion was important, but she said it doesn't matter which one. It's looked at as like having a hobby, having a social club. As long as she's included in something, that's what's important. But they feel better knowing that they have religion, because if you have religion, oh, that even puts it on a higher spiritual plane than a social club. If you tell people, you know, I am so devoted to my club, as opposed to I am committed and devoted to my religion. Oh, you know, you're serious about it because it's a religion, not just a club. But at least people, when they feel I'm a part of religion, then I'm either going to go to heaven or I'm going to receive 50 virgins. Or when I change, I'm going to be a cat or some kind of animal, because that's what I, you know, people get into various religions, and that is a religion that I'm going to come back as something different. And if they have religion, it doesn't matter which one, because all of them have all these different wonderful rewards. Or they think, well, if I have religion, I'm going to avoid all the harm and the pain that people go through that don't have religion. So again, another reason that people are part of religion. Number 9, people are part of religion because of a lack of responsibility. He said, lots of people do not take responsibility for their actions, choices, and the world that they created around them, and they need something to blame, and they need something to send their problems to. So he said, people are a part of religion because of lack of responsibility. They don't take personal responsibility, so they need something to blame. Now, those who grew up in the church, they say, all my problems are because of the church. Again, blame, let's put the blame on the church instead of, oh, I didn't prove it, I didn't live by it, I still suffered the consequences, even though I claimed I was religious and was a part of an organization. You can't blame. Some seek to be religious because they want to be accepting of the idea, well, I'm religious because Jesus Christ did it all for me, so now my responsibility is gone. I'm Christian because he did it all, and we can't think we have to do anything. He just did it all for us, so we don't have to do anything. We can be corrupt and evil, and it's done for us. Or they want to go to a priest and say a few Hail Marys and move some beads and think, well, the pressure's gone because I've confessed my sins, and now I'm not responsible for them because I did what I was supposed to do in my religion. Lack of responsibility. True religion is not a good feeling, and it's not the removal of guilt or responsibility. It's not what true religion is. Okay, his last reason why people are religious, he says, people are religious for spiritual fulfillment. His perspective is there is a religious void in this world, and people can feel it. That's true. And some of what he states is true, but not from the perspective that he's looking at. He says they want a life with more meaning and more purpose. I think that this one is one of the biggest reasons why people turn to religion, hoping that they can satisfy a spiritual void. He says, you go to church and you can see all of those people excited for God, and you think to yourself, this must be where it is and what I have been searching for. Just look at how happy those people are. So you join a church and then you get excited and on fire for God, and you're so happy and nothing can take you down. But time goes on, you start to realize that the spiritual void is still there, and you start feeling the same way you did before, if not worse. This guy is a Debbie Downer. He looks at things from a perspective of religion is false all over, and there's nothing to gain from it, even though he touched on many reasons why people really are a part of religion. In some ways, he's absolutely right. There is a void. And I don't know how many times people have said, I just feel like there's something missing in my life. Are you praying? No, I don't have a very good prayer life. Or they're in need of God's Holy Spirit, and they realize, I'm missing something. If you only have the Spirit in man, you are. And I think God designed it to realize when he opens your mind and starts to teach you by leading you by that Spirit, you realize there is a void. I'm missing the other half. I'm missing the connection with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit in man, so I can become something, and there's a void. But most people try to fill that void without knowing and just blindly seek any type of religion. They're missing that relationship with God. And many times as God begins to open that mind, even within the church, opening the mind of a young person as they begin to mature, they see something is missing. Or the hope is that they will see something is missing. It's not missing a religion or a system of beliefs, but rather missing God's Holy Spirit. So we've seen what religion is. We looked at the descriptions of what religion is. A system of beliefs, a set of beliefs, a group of things that people live by, ceremonies, observances, and religion or worshiping. We've seen why people choose religion. And I think he touches on these 10 things of why people choose religion, or why they stay with one. And we see that even the parallels within the church over the decades. We can even deduce that through Scripture, most people consider religious as a concept, but it's built on a false premise. Well, I feel religious because I'm a part of this church or this group or this sect of believers. But if it's built on something wrong, they're still missing. I want to look at what true religion is. When God describes what religious is, or what to have a true religion. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Verse 31, the second is like to it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So he said, if you're going to follow a set of commandments, you're going to follow a set of rules or live by something, love God and love your neighbor. Well, surely it can't be that simple. It is that simple. Hard to do. God says, these are the two commandments, and they are based on love. And this describes God's way of life. It's not how much you know. Because people get into religion, well, the more I know, the more I will raise in my position within this organization or church or religion. Or the more I know, the more I'll be accepted. It's not how much you know. It's not what position you're in. It's not, do you feel good? I don't know if I've ever just walked around and said, I hope you feel really good today. I hope you feel like you are fulfilled today. It's not, am I achieving what I can? People look to that for fulfillment, and they say, well, if I feel like I'm achieving something, then I'm fulfilled. That void is filled with something. We look at the love chapter, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 says, now, these abide, faith, hope, and love, and these three, but the greatest of these is love. Sorry, faith, hope, and love. The things that you need as a part of God's true religion. But the greatest of these is love. So he said, there's something that you need to understand. If you believe this way of life and you live this way of life, it is going to lead you to become like God. And John 4 tells us God is love. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 15. This tells us about how sin conceives within the mind. James 1 and verse 15 says that when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Now, that's why some people aren't a part of religion. I don't want to be responsible. Well, you still are, whether you read it, believe it, or not. But when sin conceives, and when it is fully grown, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. If somebody is seeking religion, some do seek truth. Some just seek religion. I want to be a part of something. Others seek, I want the truth. I'm not finding it in anything. I'm not finding satisfaction to my answers. And they continue to seek. But if they seek truth, he says he brings us forth by the word of truth that we might be kind of a first fruits of his creation. Nobody comes to God on their own. God says he calls them. We're brought forth by the word of truth. He opens our mind to truth. Verse 19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. He said, you have to get rid of those things that are not righteous. You don't just say, well, Christ did it all. I don't have to do it. Well, he says, no, you do have to get rid of it. You do have to continue to accept responsibility. You lay aside the filthiness and overflow of wickedness and accept the word. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So you can't just say, well, okay, I'm in the right place and I'm hearing the right word. So my religion is spot on. But he said, you have to be doers of the word. You can't just be there and hearing it and saying, I'm in the right place, I'm receiving the right message, but you're not doing it. We can't just sit and listen and think that we're doing what is right. He said, you have to be doing something. And when we go back and we look at the definition of religion, it is something that is practiced. It's something that you act on. Is it just growing in knowledge? People say, well, I'm growing in knowledge and I'm learning things every year. But are you changing? Are you becoming something different? We have to grow, but that's not all that is to religion. It's not just hearing and it's not just growing. Verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word but not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes his way, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Just as those who come into their religion because of fear. And when the fear is gone, they drift on. Or people who come in and say, well, I like what I see now, as one, he says, get excited because of being a part of a church. And then that wears off. And then they move on. He said, if you're only a hearer and not a doer, then you look at yourself in a mirror and eventually you say, well, I forget what I was here for. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, that means religion, and true religion has to have a commitment. You cannot give up. He's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Now we move forward to the summarization of the context of this passage in verse 26. If any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Now for us to say there's a lot of religion in this world, 4,200 different types of religions, can we say there's a lot of religion that is useless? Absolutely. There's a lot of religions that have no purpose, no future, or something that is totally outside of what God tells us through his word. But here he said, if any one of you thinks he's religious, most people who try to do things religious think of themselves as religious. He said, if you don't bridle your tongue, if you don't have self-control, if you're not working on yourself, then you deceive your own heart, and that religion's useless. How many people in the world think they are religious? Well, a great deal. But religion can be useless. Clark commentary states, bridling not the tongue, he who speaks not according to the oracles of God, whatever pretenses he makes in religion, only shows his want of scriptural knowledge. He said, he's talking about it from a speaker's or sharing your own personal knowledge, but that his religion is false. It's empty of solid truth and profit to others and of good to himself. Now, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this. Do we want an understanding of what religion is and what it means to be part of a religion? God says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. He doesn't say, try to do more music. He doesn't say, try to fulfill yourself in particular roles. No, he says, pure and undefiled religion is to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep yourself unspotted. That's what God himself says pure and undefiled religion is. That's what he considers pure and undefiled religion. We look at the context, it goes back to the two great commandments and being a doer of the law, living God's law of love, living your religion. Because religion means to practice something, to live it, to make it a part of your life. James chapter 2 and verse 1. James 2 and verse 1, he says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly, a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and you say, sit here in the good place. Oh, here, come on in. I've got your place right next to me. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there. or sit here at my footstool. Yeah, you can come in too, but here, just kneel down so I can have somewhere to put my feet on. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Have you ever seen someone become defensive over their seats or their where they're sitting or their position? Even people within the church. I can't believe I sit there every week and they took my spot. I've seen that even with people who were ordained in the church, and that's my spot. Everybody knows that's my spot and would make people get up. That's my spot where I sit. It's carnal. But here he says it's showing partiality. And again, sometimes it's because of who they want by them, and sometimes it's just out of outright vanity or entitlement. I deserve that. That's my seat. I hate to see that even today, Feast of Tabernacles. You know, people will take somebody else's seat. Well, I wanted those. Well, yeah, they did too. That's why their things were there. Entitlement or vanity, or I deserve these seats because of who I am. He says in verse 5, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" Love for God and a love for your neighbor. "But you have dishonored the poor man, and do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts?" He said, those who have a lot, and something goes wrong, well, okay, I can afford a lawyer. I'm going to take you to court. "Do they not blaspheme that noble name with which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, then you do well." And remember, he said, true and undefiled religion is to take care of the widows and orphans and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. To be unspotted from the world means you're keeping the commandments. You're living that way of life. He said, if you show impartiality, you commit sin. People over the years have blinded themselves to their partiality and they said, no, I'm entitled. This is what I deserve. Or unknowingly, or maybe even knowingly, I am better than everybody here, or I'm better than most people here, or I have more knowledge than people here. That's partiality. If you show partiality, you commit sin and you're convicted by the law as transgressors. That's not pure and undefiled religion. That is the religions of the world. For whoever shall keep the whole law, yet a stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. So he says, if you feel like, well, I keep most of it better than everybody else. Well, if you failed in one, you've broken the entire law. So what is pure religion? What is pure and undefiled religion? To love your neighbor, those who are in need, and to remain unspotted or pure from the world, which is having a love for God, a love for truth. To love God and to keep his commandments. And that's what James is stating here. James chapter 2 and verse 13. James 2 and verse 13. "For judgment is without mercy to him who shows no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Verse 14. "What does it profit, my brethren, if somebody says he has faith?" Or if somebody says, "I am religious, but does not have works, can faith save him?" Just because he believes in the future, if he's not living that way of life now, is that going to save him? Can he be saved simply by what you believe? The answer is no. Because people say, well, I have believed, I've hung on to the truth. Okay, but have you lived your religion? Have you become what you should? He says, if a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, it goes back to the care and the love of your neighbor. And you say to them, well, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that they are needing for the body, then what profit is it? Oh, no, I want to take care of you. Well, you know, I hope that gets really better for you. Move along. Thus also, faith by itself if it does not have works, is dead. If you say, I believe what God has showed me and I believe in the promises of God, but you're not having love towards your neighbor and love towards God or taking care of the widows and orphans, if you're not showing pure and undefiled religion, it's in vain. So he says, if it does not have works, it's dead. But if anyone says to you, you have faith and I have works. You say you have faith, you have hope in the future. I'm doing what I should. He says, show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you that I believe in the promises of God, that I want to be a part of a family that God says God is love. I want to be a part of that because I need to become like God. I need to have that type of love, that I can be a part of that family for eternity. It says, I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll show you my religion. I'll show you my beliefs. I'll show you my way of life. And in verse 19, it says, you believe that there is one God. Is belief enough? Do you just say, well, I believe and I've held fast to what I believe? Do you believe that there is one God and you do well? Even the demons believe and they tremble. Demons are not living true and pure, undefiled religion. Belief is not enough, and showing up and being a listener is not enough. Trusting in your own knowledge and saying, well, I have more knowledge about this or more knowledge about prophecy is not enough. Verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, faith without works is dead? Was Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? He was doing what he was supposed to be doing, not just holding on to or teaching or listening to what he was supposed to be listening to. And he said, by faith, by works, his faith was made perfect. It was true religion in action. It was faith in action. This word religion comes from that base word, threskos, which means ceremonious in worship as demonstrative. Religion, and the word itself means it's something that can be demonstrated. Demonstrated as in living a way of life, loving your neighbor, something that can be learned. It is showing your religion in your action, your thoughts, and your speech. He said, if you can't control your tongue, if you say, I'm religious, or think you're religious, and can't control your tongue, he said, your religion is in vain. The term religion, from the Latin word religio, means to bind or connect. Means to bring things together. It's education, it's knowledge, it's understanding, it's knowledge and truth. But you bind it together with the actions that begin to produce where it becomes who you are, not just something you are a part of, like a part of religion. It becomes your religion. It becomes who you are. It's a binding of seven common beliefs and practices which reflect the two commandments, loving God and loving your neighbor. It requires both faith, belief in what you're learning, and works, putting those beliefs into action, or it's demonstrative. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this. It is that simple. He said it is pure, it's undefiled, and this is what it is. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.